What's up, everybody? Welcome to Clocks Running, a podcast for everything flag football officials. I'm Jacob, and that's DJ.
What?
I don't know. You just give me just a – I don't know what you were doing over there.
No, I have my – you know, I have my shoe. I was –
Your shoe? Like a
– yeah, it's an Ohio State thing. Well, it's a slipper, but
– Oh.
I don't know if you know, but Ohio State's number one in the country right now.
Okay. So tell me, Mr. All Ohio State fan, when was the last time they won a national title?
This past year. Last year, they were defending national champ.
Okay, well, when was the last time they won that before then?
Who knows, but they won nine of them.
Okay, all right. So, okay. So, is it just because you could say the cool I-O-H-O-L-M-N-O-P? I don't understand. That's how you spell Ohio.
Yeah, exactly. The Ohio State. I don't know, man.
So why do you say the? Why is the first?
You know, I feel like it has something to do with that there's other, like, OSU initials out there.
You mean like so, Oklahoma State University?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So I wouldn't go
Oregon,
the
Oregon
ITT Tech Technical Institute. University of Phoenix. The Grand Canyon Cayman Islands University of Swagger.
But isn't it unique? I mean,
yeah, Dean graduated cum laude, whatever it is, of School of Swagger.
Cum laude?
Yeah. He just also graduated magna cum laude of not returning text messages.
Oh, okay, but what's cooler, though? Is it cooler to be, like, the Ohio State or the U?
Neither one. I'm not a fan of either one. So
You just want it to be...
huh?
You just want it to be as basic as possible, is what you're telling me?
No, I don't have to say the Jacob Lewis. The Clock's Running. I'm saying that stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. That had a good ring to it.
No, it doesn't. I mean, no.
I almost got you.
You. Okay. I mean, I thought about it for a split. No. Thank you, but no.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. We got plenty to talk about tonight. I know you spent a little time in Vegas. We'll get there later in the night.
That tournament.
Yeah, exactly. We got to do that towards the end because this is the night bowl. So,
okay.
I don't know. You know me. I like to go around the whole globe when it comes to flag football, right?
That's what I'm buying you for Christmas. But okay, keep going.
So our good friend, Mr. Flag Football Referee. You know, he likes to tap his hat.
Yeah.
He's in where are they? Finland or I don't know. You know me, I'm not good with geography, but they are they're somewhere in Europe with big mountains behind it. Maybe it's Austria. Maybe that's where they are.
In the Alps. Yeah.
Yeah,
Alps.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so they've got the Euro Youth IFAF World Championship going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting enough, like there's not this version of the Americas yet. I know that I think they do have some youth happening in Panama next month, but the United States isn't a part of it. I know the United States had some other stuff over the summer, but for Europe, this is a really big deal. Now, I'm out the gate. I'm confused because is Israel part of Europe?
Israel? No.
Yeah. Okay. Israel
is Middle East, technically.
Okay, but what is the Middle East? That's not a continent.
Technically the Middle East falls in Asia.
Okay.
If you wanted to.
Okay. Well,
as a continent.
Anyway, so Israel is like the three-time defending U-17 boys reigning champs. Like, they dominate U17. But in Europe, which is weird. So,
cool flex. I don't
know. Yeah, I don't know. Cool flex. So, just to recap, the first day, Israel, Finland. Is it still the Czech Republic? Or is it called something else?
Czech khakis.
Spain.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're all undefeated. So four teams in the U17 boys undefeated. My guys from Italy, they're 2-1. Not too bad.
Why are they
Well, I am Italian.
Okay, I'm Italian. You don't see me over here going, my guys. Mamma
mia. You don't see me doing that. You should, once in a while.
Oh, okay, keep going. Okay. I don't even know who they are. I don't know any of the guys on the team.
Ah, they could be cool. There's probably Mario.
How many?
Tony. There's a couple Tonys. There's a couple Tonys for sure.
Gosh, dude.
What?
What do you think? At halftime, they have DiGiorno? Because it's not delivery.
Yeah, they should. The DiGiorno.
All of a sudden, they're just whipping out. That'd be wild. That'd be absolutely wild. It'd be funny.
What's the one guy from Barstool? What did you say? One bite or whatever. Well,
David Portnoy, yeah, the guy who owns Barstool or started it.
Yeah,
one bite.
But he never
challenged. Everybody knows the rules. He takes like six bites.
Yeah, he's like halfway through. Like that.
Yeah, like crushes the piece of pizza. It should be like the one slice challenge. I think that's what you should call it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Okay, so there's 11 countries in that division. Okay. U17 girls, there's 8 countries. Italy, Finland, and Czech Republic. I don't think they're called Czech Republic anymore.
Czech Republic. I mean, that's what people put down on the Apple. That's what Philip puts down the application when he fills it out is Czech Republic.
Oh. All right, cool. Well, so they're
take away
his
heritage.
Yeah, there you go. So Italy, Finland, and Czech Republic, they're all undefeated in U17 girls. Now this is interesting. For U15, they just do co-ed. So they don't separate it.
So how does co-ed play out in IFAF?
Well, it's just, I mean, there's no difference. Everybody's equal. So it's not co-ed. It's called mixed, is what it's called.
Called what?
So, mixed.
Spell that.
M-I-X-E-D. Mixed.
Not what I heard.
Okay. So, in the mixed division, U15, there's 12 countries. And Great Britain, Italy, Germany, and Slovakia are all undefeated coming out of the first day. So there you have it. I was watching a few games in the middle of the day, you know, because whatever the time zone is. But lots of flags. You want to see what IFAF is all about? watch this youth tournament because there was lots, especially in the red zone. Like crazy amounts. Yeah, flag-a-palooza, for sure. So, I don't know. That's what's going on in the youth world. Euro, youth, IFAF, I don't know. They got a big, long title. But it's, you know, it's leading up to all the continentals that are coming up in the next couple months. Panama, Paris has the Euros for the adults. And then I don't know where the Asias are.
The Asias? Asias?
That's what they're called. The Americas is the continental for.
Oh my God.
This is what they're called: the Euros, the Asias, and the Americas.
I think
Those are the names of the tournaments.
I don't.
Ten pushups on demand.
No, because you're gonna make some crazy graphic on ChatGPT that's gonna prove me wrong. America is the only one that's probably real, and I believe that one. The rest of them,
Euros
is, that's a currency.
I don't know, man. Okay, I might be, but I feel like I'm someone accurate. So you're in the epicenter of the Bill Belichick madness. I know now this is not flag football, but how is it being around the great Bill Belichick in your state?
Dude, you ever seen somebody get their dog kicked right in front of them? It's such a great feeling here. Dude, everybody is so disappointed right now. They were so excited. And now that he got his butt whooped, everyone is so depressed. They're so distraught. They don't know what to do with themselves. And I am here for every bit of it. I don't really follow college football, but to see UNC have any sort of struggle or downfall or have any demise, anything negative, I'm excited about it.
Okay, so fair enough.
I hope he goes 0-11 and just completely shits the bed.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done.
Well, yeah. And they probably spent a lot of money to have him.
Oh, millions, man! They were talking about how much money. It's unbelievable all the money they've spent for him and the kids and all the stuff they've got there. It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Definitely. And it was a fun Labor Day weekend of college football. I know you're not into it. And then another exciting thing that happened recently. I don't know if you saw it today. I think it dropped today. The Under Armour commercial that was like for 95% of it was all about regular football. And then the last 5% was flag football.
Nice, nice. Yeah. I didn't see it, but nice.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, so some familiar faces were in there. Diana places. Flores and places and places.
Places and Maces. Yeah.
Graham was there. I think
their Under Armour team, they got quite a few people.
Yeah. Izzy. I think Izzy's in there. Making Ohio proud.
Does she know how to spell it? Do you know? Have you confirmed? Do you think they do that in elementary school? Like have them like learn that little chant.
This is definitely like a sports state for sure. Like, you know, you go to some places in the West Coast and they're like,
Nebraska.
You know, there's a lot of other.
Nebraska's actually got a running following.
Yeah, I was about to say Omaha is like basically turns into a metropolitan city. This is good timing because Jacob's already fallen asleep. So we do have our first guest for the night.
I'm still struggling from night bowl.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce her, and I'll bring her on.
All right, well, bring on. If there is anybody who can represent the youth across the whole world, bring on all 5'2" of her. Bring on Miss Cassie. How are you, Cassie?
I'm 5 feet, but I appreciate that extra those 2 inches. Ooh, it's like, well, that's really nice. Like, puts a little bounce in my step the next time I see you. Like, he thinks I'm 5'2". This is amazing.
Anything below 5'4" is all the same. So I really don't know.
and that took away the confidence.
And gone.
So Cassie, what's up? I told you, but I'm at my kids' soccer practice. This is my life. And then I'm going to pick up another kid from dance after this. So, and then I'm working on our schedule for San Diego.
Yeah. No, so we'll get right into it. Just real quick, if you can give us kind of a rundown of what got you into flag football and what brought you to where you are in the flag football world today.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually talked about this today. I visited a junior high just talking to girls about getting plugged into flag. And when I was in junior high or middle school, I really wanted to play tackle, like, so bad. And all 5 foot of me, my dad was like, nope, on a rope. And so I've always loved the sport, and I've always been a sporty girl. Soccer was my main love. And then I was super quick, so I ran track. And then one of my football friends was like, hey, there's going to be juniors versus seniors. We really need someone fast. Would you want to come try it out, play? It's just one game. And I was like, sure, I'll do it. And so I ended up scoring 3 touchdowns that day. So I was really excited about flag. And then I was like, wait, this is it? There's nothing else? And so I actually turned down a soccer scholarship at Lambeth University and just wanted to kind of have a chill life. Hey, Nugget. And hold on, water time. Here you go. And I met some ladies that were doing like a social club, because at a Christian school you have social clubs and not sororities, and they had like the best quarterback, and they're like, why are you pledging? And I was like, oh, you guys have an awesome quarterback. They're like, what? And I was like, I mean, y'all are cool, but legitimately had like the best quarterback. So so anyways, just take my water, just take the whole thing. So after that, I came back home and I met someone might know her, like a couple people, Vanita Crouch. She plays a little, like, from time to time and stuff. So we met each other at co-ed, absolutely hated her. She thought I was cocky. I thought she was cocky. And someone was like, hey, you guys, there's a women's tournament coming up. You guys should do it. And I'm like, not with her. And so it was just 4-on-4. We literally had, like, 4 women. And so it was me, another old school girl, and another one of our friends that had been playing. We all had been playing against each other in this league. And so I was like, all right, we'll try it. And we smoked everyone with our 4 girls. And it was like really V's first time to like step out and try quarterback. And so she continued to keep on like learning the ropes and doing everything through co-ed. And I was still loving it. But I wanted to start a family, and it wasn't as important to me as starting my family. And then I went back into it after my family started. We started bringing our kids out to, like, we were playing, and they would watch us. And my daughter fell in love with it. And she was like, Mommy, I really want to, you know, essentially sack a quarterback. That's what she was trying to tell me. She's like, I want to pull that guy's flag. And I'm like, okay. But she was a dancer, and I was like, sweetie, just stick with ballet. I think that's your jam. And she bugged me for a whole year. So from time she was 6 to 7, she just kept bugging me. And the person I was working with at the time was doing predominantly adults. And I was just like, there's really no platform for youth for her age. And so I branched off and started my own thing. And then a week later, Travis reached out to me because he was one of my adult teams that played in our events. I was like, hey, do you want to come run youth for Flag Football World Championship Tour? And I was like, I don't know, maybe. And his goal was to see youth in all the schools nationwide. And I was like, all right, I'm in. Say less. And we've been buddies ever since. And I feel like we've grown this platform into something super special. We have so many girls teams right now, whereas my daughter was only playing against boys for the first 3 years of her flag football life. And now it's like, it's just my dream to continue to keep seeing it grow. And it's now getting into so many different schools. And I made the announcement today and last week, we're partnering up with the Dallas Cowboys to get into our school district. And we're going to have 2 varsity teams represented through the Cowboys League. And I'm pretty excited about it. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, awesome. So just real quick, do you know what's the holdup with Texas getting sanctioned for high school?
Yeah, so right now, I mean, obviously tackle is king and like everywhere, but especially in Texas, they are trying to take out a lot of sports instead of adding sports in. Oh. And they want to see, I don't want to say what other sports they want to have taken out or whatever, but the ones that I would say are like less popular, you know, they want to see taken out. But now that like flag is taken off, it's kind of like we have to prove ourselves. So last year UIL said they wanted to see like at least 100 club teams. And right now we're at, I think Cowboys, our Cowboys liaison said we're at 165. Awesome. So the next vote for UIL is this fall. I think they vote either late this month or in October. And so here's hoping, but I mean, you know, football is, it's a man's game. There's a lot of men in the wild.
Yeah. So tell us about like what is new and exciting happening in the world of USA Flag Youth.
Well, I think that again, it's own like kind of with that.
What's new in USA Flag Youth? What's coming up?
What's coming up for USA Flag?
Yeah.
So youth wise, I'm just tired thinking about it. Jacob is probably just as tired. So next week we're going to be in San Diego, and then October we're going to be in Orlando. And Orlando last year we had 100 teams for youth, and I want to say like 34 adults or something crazy.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite.
Yeah.
Like they're so little. And then youth is usually on the struggle bus compared to that. But this year I'm anticipating closer to the 150 range. We already have almost 50 teams registered since July. Pause. That's a street. Sorry, have to be on mom duty as well. November for our nationals, we also already have almost 50 teams registered for that. And then I'm throwing an event December, also in Dallas. And then of course we've got worlds. And last year we had 347 youth teams, and this year I'm expecting 400, 450. You know. It really is growing, but like I think I'm most excited about our international relationships. We have so many awesome Mexico club teams that are coming. They're not just bringing girls teams, they're bringing boys teams as well. It really has been phenomenal just to see that group and that connection. But our Canadian teams, I'm like, we need like someone that speaks French and Spanish. Like we need someone that's trilingual.
I got a French person.
So I'm like frustrated that I live in Texas and I don't speak Spanish, and then you know the Texas Spanish that I speak is not really working for my Mexico team.
Yeah.
And then we'll announce our schedule for, but it's packed. I'm excited, but it's packed.
Yeah.
Well, Cassie, cool. I know you're busy and doing all the great mom stuff that you do. So we appreciate you joining us tonight, and we're excited to see what's to come.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Cassie. Good to see you.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye. All right. She was kind of cutting out there.
kind of. She kind of had that ice bug for 40 years.
I was hoping her AirPods
were dying. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, I was hoping she was going to push through it, but it's the numbers that I got. Was it last year? It was like 300 something youth at Worlds.
It was almost 400 youth teams at Worlds last year. It was incredible. I think that time of year, there's a lot going on. Between some other organizations and us, so to see them still come out and support was really cool.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's just something that's going to continue to grow. It sounds like more teams from Mexico, from Canada are getting involved, and other international teams. So that's exciting stuff. It's San Diego has youth. Arlington, yep. And Orlando, right?
Yep. From here on, the rest of the year, we've got youth. So we've got, I think it's around 50 teams in San Diego. Youth for Orlando, I'm sure we're going to see a spike. I think it's pretty mild at the moment, but it'll take off here soon. And then Arlington and Worlds are going to be huge as well. I think the nice thing again, like we don't have a tournament competing that same weekend. In January, so there's no reason that we don't have a lot of teams come show out, and really put a good face on for the world.
Yeah. Anything as far as maybe coming down the pipeline for like rule changes or different things happening in the youth aspect of
youth itself? Nothing that I can tell. We have, you know, this past year, and then we've only had a few tournaments, a few opportunities, but we did switch our pass clock from 7 seconds to 5 seconds to match adults. Let's see what else. You know, we allowed where it's no rush from 6U and up. You know, a couple other little things like that. But, I mean, for the most part, our rules are pretty standardized. I think, you know, across the board, you start looking at other organizations too. Everybody's pretty much on the same page. There's a couple nuanced differences in a couple other leagues and stuff. And that's all well and good. Everybody kind of has their own niche. And that's cool. You know, I think like with Drew and those guys over at SHS, they do a throw off, which is definitely different. But again, they're for the most part doing the same thing we are.
Yeah. And then also four downs to mid, that changed, right?
No, it's still the same. So it's on that fourth down, you get the punt option play. If you go for it, it's high risk, high reward. If you go for it, if you get the first down, you keep on rolling. If you don't get the first down, the opposing team takes over from where the play ends. So,
and then after midfield,
you just get three shots. You get three downs. So if you don't get it on third, turnover.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I think that, yeah, the throw-off is a little strange to me.
I think about that in adults. How do you think that would work in adults?
Yeah.
Do you think it would work in adults? This is no knock on what those guys are doing, because I think it's unique, and it gives the kids something different to do. But do you see that working in adults? Think about it. You put all of USA flat. Put five contact. You think it'd work in five contact?
Well, and I mean, isn't that kind of like one of the conversations around like eight contact is like, you're still kicking off and that's where injuries happen. Like you've got too many bodies flying around. So a small, yeah. Yeah, for sure. So we do have a surprise guest real quick. I don't know how long he's going to be able to be on, but he was in Vegas this past weekend. So it leads us right into our next topic here. What up, D-Hop?
How's it going?
What's going on? Good, man. I know you don't got a lot of time, but I just want you to give a rundown of how the weekend was in Vegas.
It was pretty good. I didn't expect the new venue for Vegas.
Me neither.
I was hoping maybe they mowed the lawn a little bit or something, but hey, it is what it is. We don't play football on anything, to be honest. If we out there to play football, we don't play on anything. Besides that, it was. I really like the fact that the best time to have a night bowl is in Vegas because, like, no one wants to play in, like, 108-degree heat and everything like that. So,
yeah, the first block was brutal.
Yeah.
Until the sun went down.
Once the sun went down, yeah, that's when everybody, like, you can tell even even spectators, they're more willing to, like, sit and watch and everything like that. But when that sun was up, everybody was hiding. If you didn't have a tent or a tarp or something like that,
you're in the parking lot.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah.
What formats were you playing out there?
I was playing contact, sixes, contact, fives, non-con, fives, air it out, and fives, co-ed. Oh, and fours. Fours, non-contact.
Yeah, okay. So speaking of sixes contact, you were on Optimum Nutrition, right?
Yes, sir.
So looking at y'all's roster, I mean, I see a lot of familiar faces. Is this a roster that we're going to see traveling, or is this a one-off?
No, definitely. Optimum is definitely going to stick to this roster. And we're probably going to be in San Diego. We're going to be in Texas. And we're looking forward to playing against all the good teams, contact teams, and Tampa as well. So,
right on.
Wow, Jacob, mark my word right now. Optimum Nutrition is going to be a sleeper pick for some of these big tournaments. They got a squad. I'm telling you.
I mean, no, we're not on any rank thing, so you know, it's definitely a sleeper squad. But I'd say like it's some of the best in Southern California for sure.
Yeah,
player wise.
What how do you feel like the kind of switchover or translation from what you guys play sixes wise in SoCal compared to what this national rules is? Like, what's the adjustment look like?
I'd say for sure the three down linemen as opposed to like how we play air in air raid and tough, like we only have like the center as the down lineman. I'd say that's probably the biggest difference. Aside from that, everything's kind of the same about the game. Of course, there's no pitching and stuff like that. In our formats, you get, like, one pitch. But it's unique because, like, sometimes we put, like, some of our speedier guys at center, and we get, like, the center releases. We have, like, we don't even show, like, a block. We might show, like, a two-man block and have the center just jet up the middle of the field or do like a wheel. I ended up going to center a few times, and I hit like a quick little wheel route, got a touchdown my first play out there. So I definitely like the format for sure.
Yeah. No, it's cool. And then were you on the team that won fours as well, Team Dooms? Is that?
Yeah, I was on Dooms as well. To be honest, that fours team was kind of nasty. Yeah.
Pretty tough.
As I'm walking around, everybody's like, oh, Dooms is going to be in the finals. Dooms is going to be in the finals. I'm like looking like, what other teams is here? Like, you know? But we did have a good team.
Yeah. Okay, we got another guest here. He was also in Vegas. Let's see. He's pretty new to the flag football world. Let me see if you know him, Jacob. What up, man?
What up? Pretty new.
JJ, where you been, man? You been eating? What's going on?
Bro, eating real good. If you can see from them pictures, that belly's starting to stick out. Eating real good.
Hey, man. So y'all tore it up in sixes contact, huh?
Pause.
Yeah, the boys at Optimal Nutrition, shout out them, shout out the gang. They called me up and, you know, they had asked if I wanted to play. A lot of those guys I had previous conversations with, and it just never really worked out, like going to Cali, going to Vegas, going to, like, Texas, whatever. And so we just saw that there was a time frame that it fit, and I had never played sixes contact before. Like, most of us in Arizona, outside of, like, the New Dynasty boys, we all stopped playing contact, like, years ago, you know what I mean? And so after we all stopped, we all just really started focusing on five-man and four-man. That's usually where you see me play at. But Dalton had hit me up and was like, hey, man, come try it out. Like, we got some people that we think fit well with you, and, you know, let's just go try it. So I got to give a shout-out real quick to my boy Ant, you know what I'm saying, Crash Out New Dynasty quarterback. I know that they're usually doing a lot with the six-man stuff. I actually messaged him before we went out there and was like, hey, I ain't done this in years, bro. Like, what's working nowadays? You know what I mean? And he gave me a couple tips and whatnot. And then, you know, when we got out there, it was really just all love from the boys. And, you know, again, shout out to ON, because without them, none of it's possible. You know what I mean? We don't get the win if the people don't listen. We don't get the win if the line don't block and, you know, everybody does their job. So
that was actually my first time playing with JJ too.
Yeah, as long as we done known each other, bro, like, literally one state away, we done been at every single tournament together and never, ever linked up before, so it was dope.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing, JJ, you're definitely, you definitely win championships in fours. Like, that's, I would say that's where your bread and butter is. So it was, for me, man, as a fan of the game, it's exciting to see you out there playing six contact, because I think that format needs a little excitement. It can get boring at times. It can get slow. So seeing you, and you got weapons like Marshawn, you got D-Hop, you got Dalton. Like, I hope y'all stick together for a little bit.
Yeah, no, sixes is so different from the side point of like the reason I don't like playing fives, and I'll be completely honest. I feel like five man contact takes less. I'm not trying to offend anybody when I say this, but I feel like it takes less skill overall. And the reason I say that is because you can have somebody like, I'm gonna use Tone as the example. Shout out Tone. No matter how good you are on defense, Tone can run whenever he wants to. And if you don't got anybody that can catch him, Tone's gonna put him in a, he's gonna put himself in a position to win, right? And so I don't mean less skill as in like you have to be less talented, but if you have a quarterback that can really just scoop, then it changes the entire ball game for you. And we started to realize that, you know, even in the eight-man scene, because that's what Arizona used to do way, way, way back in the day. That's the only format that we played. And then we went to, I want to say it was a tournament in Indianapolis when they did Nationals out there or something like that. Yep. And we played a team that ran three quarterback drop. It was STV. I think they had Tone STV as one of the guys before he had really got onto the scene. And they had three dudes who could all run. And it was like, no matter what defense we scheme up, we just don't have three guys that can stop those three dudes one-on-one. And they won the game without even throwing the ball damn near. You know what I'm saying? Each one of them lined up 15 yards back, and they can just do whatever they want to do. And so I know I'm not the fastest dude on the planet. I'm a little shifty. I can get away from people in like short spurts, but I'm not really outrunning anybody like that. So five man for me ended up having to be, you know what I'm saying? I got to get some dog linemen who can just beat people up and release and go get yards after, which fortunately we have a lot of that in Arizona. But after a while, it just became less and less to me. You know what I mean? Because I knew that I didn't have the legs to just scoot away from people whenever I wanted to. And so I started sticking to five man a little bit more. Four man, I kind of, to be honest, I put that in the same category as fives contact. If you got somebody who fast, it just changes the ball game for you. You know what I mean? You can double back to Mark all you want to, and ain't nobody catching them. You can get a ball to Pablo, and ain't nobody catching them. So they make the game a little bit easier. But it's also a little bit more beneficial for people like me who tend to want to sit back and throw the ball, try to spread it around. I mean, if you watch most of our film, even from this past weekend, bro, I'm not doing a lot of scrambling. I'm taking a snap. I'm taking one or two, and I'm trying to get rid of it because ball in my hands means we losing. If quarterback got it for too long, we're not doing what we need to be doing, right? But if D-Hop got it, you know what I'm saying? If Marshawn got it, if I got the ball in the air going to Cody or Dalton, we probably in a good position. So, you know, again, it's a different vibe for me. But it was nice to get out there and try something new for once.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, this is clock running. We love to talk rules. D-Hop, first off, I just want to ask you, what rule do you just drive you crazy, man? What do you hate?
Let's see. Like a specific rule, like pertaining to like sixes, contact?
Yeah, sixes or any format, really.
I don't know if you want to touch on it first, JJ. Let me think.
I got one off the top of the head because I was just messaging Jacob about this like 2 weeks ago. So, I still don't necessarily agree with the way that Jacob interpreted it, but, you know, he's rules chief, so I'm going to let it go, right? If that's the way he called it, that's the way he called it. So in the rule book, there's something about how no player can start a play unless they, like, begin that section of the play or that version of the play at least seven or nine yards away from the sideline, right?
Yeah.
So we see it a lot, right? Especially out here in Arizona, because people like to do little janky things every now and then. And it works because if it's legal, it's legal, right? Play the game the way it's supposed to be played. But we'll see it, and I'll use Crash House for the example. Love them to death, right? If we just get a score on one end or if it's a big stop on their end or whatever and they get the ball right away, they'll have all five of their people damn near on the sideline. They'll snap it real quick and just dump it. And then it's just a free-for-all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so my interpretation of the rule or the way that it's written is it doesn't say specifically that it has to be somebody rotating on late for a play. Like we already got four in the middle and then somebody jumps in real quick to get a quick snap and go forward. It doesn't specify who it is. So to me, I'm thinking that means anybody and everybody. You can't do the little, hey, there's a big turnover that just happened, and then we finna just run everybody on 1 yard away from the sideline, snap it quick while the defense isn't ready, and go forward. So to me, it's like, depending on who your ref is and how they interpret that rule, is going to change potentially the whole outcome of a game.
See, but in my mind, with the scenario you just gave, it's impossible for them to just jump on the field and snap it immediately. No official is going to be set. No official is going to be – no one should be ready that quick. If you have to wait – your officials have – yeah, and that's what I'm saying. If your officials – if they're hustling – if everybody's hustling on the field, the officials should be hustling, right? So – There should still be ample time for you to change out. You know, it's not like they're going to go. If they go, it's a penalty. Or you're going to stop, you know.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly in a perfect scenario, right? But far too often, I mean, you've seen it. You've been around in so many of the tournaments, obviously. You know that the refs ain't always hustling. And you know that refs love to do that thing sometimes where it's like, hey, well, if I'm not set, they know where to snap the ball from. Technically, you could rush from wherever. And it's like, dog, we out here with six people. You feel me? We just got a touchdown on this side. This team got 15 on the sideline or whatever it is, and they ready to go right now. So there's literally nothing that we can do, and the ref will never blow that dead because they'll just say, well, if I'm not set, all that means is you can rush from anywhere. And, like, I know that not to be the case, right? Like, I know that not to be the case, but if the ref ain't going to call it, then it doesn't matter. And then there's that one janky-ass rule in the rule book that kind of it goes along with exactly what I'm saying. Where it says a ref has to see every call he makes, but he doesn't have to make every call he sees. And so realistically, they can see that all day. If they don't want to call it, they don't got to call it. And there's no argument to it. And so we ended up getting into a situation where we just started doing like the exact, I would rather take a five-yard penalty. And if we know something like that is going to happen, we'll just throw the ball in the middle of the field and be like, nope, you can't start the play. There's a ball on the field. Like, okay, cool. And if the ref sees us doing it, you flag me for five, cool. At least our defense can get up there. Now, to me, the way that I think about that is I'm now getting penalized for the ref not doing their job the appropriate way and not calling it how it's supposed to be called. But that's still giving me a better opportunity to stop the play happening forward because at least we get to set up a defense. So now instead of first and 17, it's first and 12. And if you play in a quarterback like Juice, right, from Minuteman days, if you're playing a quarterback like Ant from Crash Outs, bro, that 5-yard difference is a world because now Jordan's top balling somebody. Now Isaac's top balling somebody, right? Now Keith is taking a handoff and he can take off for 10 or 12 because he doesn't got to go get 23 right off the bat.
Right.
And so it changes the way the game is played simply because a snowball effect, right? Ref doesn't hustle. That team gets on. Ref says it's good. Now they get 8, 9, 10 yards anyways. Or even worse, you playing a team like Crash House, they got 8 people that can pitch man. They score all because the ref didn't hustle, get the ball set, and they got people jumping on at 3 yards. Bye, y'all get on safe. So things like that is where it gets janky.
Is that why at one point you guys started incorporating, like, I saw the refs trying to, like, set the ball, like, before some of the plays in contact.
Shouldn't have been. Would it happen in Vegas?
Yeah.
I feel like they started doing that one because we started getting a little bit chippy on the field. So they were like, let's try to get something settled where
it's that uniform. Could have been it. Yeah. Just to get people calmed down. I ain't mad at that.
So JJ, let me ask you this though. You know, you brought up a lot of different things in that spiel. But at any point when you talk about like an offense snapping the ball before the officials are even set, at any point, have you ever called a timeout and challenged it?
No, because again, to me, I'm now getting penalized for that. Because at absolute worst, right, absolute worst, the ref interprets it the way that Jacob explained it to me. Now I lose a timeout later in the game. When I know that that's not the verbiage itself, but it all comes down to interpretation. So if I just ask the question instead of calling a timeout for it and they flip it or don't flip it, then I just live with whatever the outcome is. Like at the end of the day, right, this is kind of a ticky-tacky thing. At the end of the day, we still got to go play ball. And, like, that's not going to be the reason that we lose a game. But if it does end up being the reason we lose a game, now it becomes a bigger issue.
It's a tough pill to swallow.
I mean, the reason I ask it is because the whole point of having a challenge is to challenge a procedure. And the procedure in the scenario you talk about is wrong. Because a ref should be killing that play if they're not set. It's not about that the rusher can rush from anywhere. That's not in the rule book. So if you see that happening and this big hustle is going on and the refs aren't set and you just call a timeout, you challenge it, the rule book backs you up, and you don't lose anything. And and you're good to go.
You're right. Now, again, so say we go through that exact scenario you just painted for us. I challenge it. They still don't agree with me, and then I just lose the challenge.
No, and a timeout. Not a timeout. You lose all of your timeouts.
Yeah. Right? And so what are we supposed to do in that situation? Do we stop the game for all of that? They don't agree with me, and then I'm like, hell no, let me hop on IG real quick. I'm going to call Ant. Hey, Ant, hurry up and answer, bro. I got 30 seconds. They're going to keep the game running. You know? So, the benefit of getting that call right doesn't outweigh the cons of getting it wrong, right? Like, if they don't agree with me still, I lose a timeout or all my timeouts and a challenge. Or I can just say, fuck it, I'll take the extra 5-yard penalty, and at least we live to fight another day. We give ourselves a swinging chance to get a stop still. You know what I mean?
Well, you guys, as well as me and all know, like, as long as I've been playing, I've always taken the first drive to figure out who my officials are, what they're going to call, what they're not going to call, how they're going to hustle, how they're not going to hustle. You know, the thing is, ultimately, like, even like at this day and time, like, I'm not blind. I see what, you know, when I hear the complaints and stuff, I know there's the player side. There's going to be the official side who's not worried, you know, who in one time is trying to save face, but also trying to do the right thing. And then there's what actually happened ultimately, and whichever way that usually scales is it's a difficult balance. So I try not to hover on fields, because then it puts added pressure on the officials, and it also gives players a scapegoat to immediately, you know, Article 42, Chapter 37, Verse 5 of the USA Flag Bible says. But to my point, like, it's a catch 22. For me, I'm kind of with JJ. I'd rather take the 5-yard penalty. It ain't a big deal. For me, at least. You know, if 5 yards makes or breaks my game, I got bigger problems. Is the way I've looked at it.
Yeah, and that's exactly the way that I look at it too. It's just like, bro, at the end of the day, we got to play ball. And like, if, like you said, and if 5 yards is losing you the game, then you probably didn't deserve to win that game anyways, right? Like,
absolutely.
Listen, and I'll call a square a square, right? Like, we done played plenty of games, close games, with this, that, or the third on the other side. We've won plenty of close games because of a messed up call. We've lost plenty of close games because of a messed up call. It's always going to come back around. So, like, you be mad about it for 5 minutes, you grab a drink with the homies after, and you keep it pushing. It is what it is, dog. Yes. Fuck it. You know?
Excuse me. Yeah, for sure.
You're
good. So, JJ, speaking of close games, we had Bruce Mapp on a few weeks ago, and we brought up a very interesting game from a few years back. He had a different interpretation of how the game should have gone. He felt like the game was over when y'all took over with the ball. Can you explain your mindset in that final play of that game? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. People always got a different mindset when they lose the game. I'm sure if he was on our side, he'd be like, oh, yeah, we had an extra 3 seconds to do it. You know what I'm saying? That's how I did. Bruce knows, bro. Bruce knows. So where they really messed up, and so the clock that you hear in the background, I'm pretty sure is play clock, not game clock. Right, based off of the video. We have, like, shortened footage, so we don't get to see everything that happened. But that was my interpretation of it. We go into it knowing that, bro, on our offense at that time, because that was the first time that my home team, New Era, had mixed with Minutemen, who eventually went on to, like, they made Fives championship in World. They made it there. They got beat the hell out of by TDR at the time, but they had got that far. And so we knew that – hold up. I'm on the phone. Hold up. We knew at the time – that we had all the necessary talent that we needed to make something like that happen, right? We got Jordan on the team. At the time, Alex Parms hadn't had a knee injury, right? And he was killing it. And we had D. Wash. And so it's like, you got three dudes that are 6'1 and above. Jordan at 6'2 could jump out of the gym. D. Wash, 6'4, 6'5 could get it, right? My whole game plan was, bro, put it up in the middle and hope that one of these dudes make a play. Like, I don't want to take – I know I get a lot of credit for it sometimes – that is not a play that I deserve any credit for. I had the easiest job in the whole point. They didn't rush me right away. Like, I don't know what the hell Dallas was doing. I love those dudes, bro. All those guys from Texas, they're good people. But sometimes they try to big brain things too much. And they were, like, talking before the play happened, trying to figure out, all right, well, how do we do this? How do we do that? And I'm like, fuck y'all, we going. You know what I mean? We snapping this ball. You know what I mean? And so you can see a little bit, Dallas starts by backing up, and then he rushes late. And that gives, I mean, what do we got, a 46-yard field, right? that there's no way that these dudes should be down there that quick unless I throw an absolute moon ball. You feel me? So the fact that we had an opportunity to get there and like almost set up for how exactly we wanted it to take place kind of worked out in our favor. The original game plan was Jordan and if I'm not mistaken, it's Jordan and D-Wash go get big, like start boxing out people and then have somebody fly across the field and like try to get it. You feel me? Like undercut everybody. And Jordan was like, bro, I'm going to get it my damn self. I don't care what's going on. And when you got a great player like that, sometimes you just got to give him a shot. Mm-hmm. You have to. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that, I don't know if y'all know this, bro. Jordan wears like a size 3X in gloves. So, like, anytime the ball is in the air, he's got a chance to come down with it. Like, it's disgusting how big his hands are, bro. And so you got him and D-Wash on the field. And Alex at the time, again, he was a different type of player. Sometimes you just got to give him a chance, man.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So, D-Hop, back to you. Was there a rule that you wanted to bring up, you wanted to discuss, or?
I don't know about a specific rule, but going based on that, I don't know. You know the video you posted with Cody?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I was thinking, like, the catch rule and flag, like, what exactly – is the catch rule and flag? What do you guys go by?
So
just 1 foot down, possession.
1 foot down, momentary possession, but that's if we're upright. If you're falling, you've got to survive the ground.
Right, right. Okay. So
that's that. You talking about the one where he rolled and kind of the ball flipped out?
No, not that one. There was another one he posted where he. He has the ball, and then the defender, like, tackles him to the ground. Oh. And then there was, like, a no call, no yeah, catch.
Hey, D-Hop, that is the one that he's talking about. The one that everybody's been posting. So, wait, Jacob, if you're not vertical, you have to survive the ground. Where is that at in the rule book? Does it state that explicitly, or is that just, like, deal with
it? Yeah, it says you got to survive the ground.
Bet. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So, if you have one point – so if you hit the ground at any point, regardless of like if it was the defender's fault for you even hitting the ground, you just survive the ground.
Yep. You still gotta maintain a catch, even through a penalty. Like if you say there's DPI in the end zone, right? If I'm coming down with the ball and I get hit early or something like that, I wouldn't award a touchdown. I'd award,
contact.
We'd award a penalty there. We wouldn't award a touchdown. So you've still got to like actually, produce the touchdown or produce the catch in order to get it. And I think I saw the are you talking about the play at the end of the air it out game?
He got tackled.
Oh, it was just another. Oh no, this was for you guys. So this was another game.
Yeah. So he caught it, and then the DB like wrapped him up, tackled him, fell to the ground, ball came loose. I mean, my interpretation of what happened, and of course, it was extremely slowed down. So
yeah.
I don't even want to talk about, like, if he got possession or one step. What I would just say in that scenario is probably the easiest call in that would be it's an incomplete pass because he didn't survive the ground, but he got tackled, which is a personal foul. So it should be 15 yards from the spot of the foul.
Okay, yeah. I agree with you.
So, yeah, but that goes back into positioning and if people are in the right spots. Yeah. And if they're in the right spot, they have the right angle for it. So,
right.
Yeah.
Jacob, were you talking about Marshawn's one and air it out?
I think so. At the end of the game,
yeah.
He started to come down and then I did, like, the ball got knocked out. I don't know. I saw a couple of different replays, and I was just all I could say was like it has to survive.
The ground,
yeah. Even that, like, we can't even go by instant replay. So
yeah, even after the play, like even players were like kind of like that can go either way. It depends on the ref, Like even Marshawn who like dropped it. Usually Marshawn will have a fit if like he knows something and like he's like wait. The ref made a bad call. But, like, at that one, he was like, I had that one. I should have had that one. So, it kind of – yeah, I was cutting dry. I went to the championship five times. I was only 3 for 5. That was one of the ones we won.
Crazy.
That's brutal.
Yeah. So is that something that, like, for both of you guys, D-Hop first, was that something that you enjoyed? Like, do you want to play games yourself too in the morning?
That was brutal.
My bad, y'all. I was talking to one of my girls. Get home safe. Message me if you need to. I was talking to one of my girls that I coached. What was the question?
Just if you enjoyed playing till 2 in the morning at the Night Bowl.
Oh, yeah, bro. I'd rather do that. Because, like, I'm not a partier anyway. So, like, I don't be – if we go to Vegas, bro, I'm out there to play football. Like, I'm not out there to be on the strip and doing this, that, and the third. So, like, that Night Bowl, we started, like, what, 2 p.m., 4 p.m., whatever the time is. Mm-hmm. It's a little hot for an hour and a half. After that, I'm vibing. I'm good.
Yeah.
I love it. That's what we do. I know Arizona's tough because we don't be showing love like that. But Arizona's one of the places where it's like, who the hell is honking a damn horn out here, bro? These kids. Like, coaching high school is not for everybody. But in Arizona, we got way better facilities than, like, damn near anywhere that I've ever been. But it's hard as hell to get people out here, A, because AZ people be messing up and not signing up on time. That's our fault, 100%. B, anytime people want to do a tournament out here, they like, hey, we're going to do it in September. And I'm like, hey, don't listen to whatever you hear about Arizona. September is still hot as hell. Yeah. If you get out here at 10 a.m., it is going to be 110 degrees. That turf is going to melt your cleats off, bro. Don't do it. But if you were to take, like, MLK weekend and bring the tournament out here, you get 900 teams registered. We got an entire complex for it. They already got the food set up for you out there. Bro, everything that you could possibly want is at Bell Bank. Everything you possibly want. Vendors, they got main stadium, all of that. You do it right in the heart of January.
A couple years ago.
Huh?
We played at Bell Bank a couple years ago.
Yeah. And I mean, it was cool. It was nice. It wasn't a massive tournament, but it was cool. It was good. Yeah. It was good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like the Night Bowl action.
Yeah. What, D Hop, where's your favorite place to that you played a flag football tournament at?
I mean, without, like, excluding Tampa, I'd probably say Arlington. Arlington was like, it wasn't too hot, but it was like a good amount, and then there was a good amount of teams there. Everybody was like balling. I don't know. It was like, I feel like Arlington was so much in the middle that you got a lot of like West Coast teams and East Coast teams like willing to pull up, you know?
Yeah. And then I feel like maybe y'all could answer this question. I haven't been around the scene for like as long as some people. Where would y'all say like flag football really, really started popping off? Cause like I hear like, oh, the big tournaments was back in Roswell. Oh, they've been doing it in Texas. They've been doing it in Florida. So anytime we show up to Texas, it feels like I feel like I'm a street hooper and I'm going to New York to play. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, this is where the OGs is at, so I can line up. You know what I mean? So it feels different.
Back in the day, it was USFTL in Florida and it was Roswell. Those were the two big tournaments of the year that everybody went to. That was before my time.
Yeah.
And Roswell was just, I mean, that was basically fours. Was like that. If you wanted to play fours, you went to Roswell. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to play eights, because that's what was big back then, was in Florida. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think it depends on the format in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Also, like, you know, each kind of area has its own format in that. And, you know, y'all are the West Coast. I want to bring it up. We have lots of guests on here from all over the country. There is no respect for West Coast teams. Across the board, you talk about anybody from Florida, Texas, DMV, up the East Coast, anything like that. I try to bring up West Coast teams. That, you know, that's where I'm from. And there's no respect. So what is it going to take? What is it going to take for y'all to, you know, to feel like you can finally say, no, we're here and we're taking flag football over?
Well, go ahead, Hop. Go ahead.
I feel like it would be to win more like Tampa tournaments. But like Ronan, we pulled up, we won it, and then they still don't show no respect. So I don't know. So
I think this is a very nuanced conversation, and I hope I don't run too long. But like, you think about flag football, you think about like how people play football, right? And so, I think everything is cyclical, and eventually, the way that people play fives, the way that people play fours, sixes, eights, whatever, everything changes, right? And so, if you think about it, 10 years ago, when people were really, really playing eights, nobody was running the spread like that. You had to have some dog linemen, you had to have a dog D line, and then you just kind of made plays where you needed to make plays. You had a quarterback with a rocking arm, and he's launching the ball down the field. Now you walk up to an eights field, nobody even has linemen. Everybody's playing spread. Everybody's playing playing spread. Now, it's going to continue to stay that way until another team finally comes up and says, hey, we got three or four dudes who just finished playing college ball. This dude was on the NFL roster, and we legit going to run the ball. And so now those teams are going to have to bring out other people who can stop that, and there, you know, thus the cycle goes. And so for teams on the West Coast to take over, A, we got to show up better when it comes to Worlds, and not just in one format, right? We can't just be Ronin, go out there and win fives aired out in one year. Right, Ronin, if we consider them to be the top of Arizona right now, right, in my opinion, you got Ronin because they're so consistent, right? No matter who they show up with, they're going to do something. You got New Dynasty / Crash Outs because as far as firepower goes, I don't know if there's another team on the West Coast who can just outright put up points when they're on like that, right? We just saw Crash Outs against YTG. They were down like 21-0 at half and almost like went back and it took them to like five overtimes. And so
that was an amazing game for sure.
Yeah. So like pure firepower goes, I don't know if anybody has it like Crash Outs do. But until we cross that threshold of, hey, we won a fives and we had somebody go out there and win and air it out. Oh, and we had a team that, you know, somebody else went out there and won sixes. Optimum Nutrition went out there and won sixes. The opinion of West Coast football isn't going to change. Now, what I will say is we have a like such a smaller pool of football players here. Right. If you go to any of those cities in Texas, you go to any of the major locations in Florida that are playing flag, they're running 3-4 leagues a night or a week, excuse me, a week. And so the game advances so much faster over there because they're continuously playing. California even has more leagues than what Arizona has. But this was up until like 2 years ago. California didn't even have a fives non-contact league. Right. It was only tough. And so all of the playing that we did came from tournament play, and that was it, right? We would just show up and be like, all right, cool, we got 10 people. We playing fives today. Let's go figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, when we won fours in Arlington, that was like almost my first time playing fours. It was not a thing for us. You know what I mean? And so until we on the West Coast take it serious to where our high five-star recruit high school players are coming to play flag after they're done with college ball if they don't make it to the league, right? All of our kids from Arizona State or U of A, if they don't make it to the league, now they can come out and play, right? Until they start, you know, continuously making their way over and, like, growing our flag scene, growing our leagues, it's going to be tough for us to break that threshold. Now, can we? Absolutely. Anybody can. Anybody's got a fighter's chance, right? But can we do it at a consistent level? I think that's where it gets a little bit tough because, I mean, you think about Arizona teams as it is, we really have one team that travels consistently and plays at the pro level, right? New Era doesn't travel nearly as much anymore, right? I'm usually playing with another team or something like that. New Dynasty was only doing contact for a little while, and they were doing non-contact just because they were already at the tournament. Now they're like, we don't really want to do contact as much. Let's focus on non-contact that we've had some success. But you can't say that for Florida. You could drop a pin anywhere in Florida right now, and I guarantee you there's 14 teams that'll go sign up if you want them to. So the game is just so much different there than what we have available to us because we just don't have the pool of people to do it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, go ahead, D-Hop.
I don't know if you're looking at the list for San Diego, but I feel like not very many Cali teams are really even, like, representing, like, in San Diego, even though it's in San Diego.
That's literally the reason that we think in Arizona we don't have tournaments out here, right? USA Flag will come down and be like, oh, we're going to put on a show. We need this, this, that, and a third. And we'll have three Arizona teams sign up for pro. And it's like, all right, well, then if y'all not showing up for your own state, then how do you expect somebody from Texas to come down? How do we expect the Curry Bombers, the Ronins to come down? Right? They don't really – it doesn't mean as much to them.
But see, I feel like we've gotten away from the – to put it, the state pride level. I mean, you look at teams nowadays, man. You look at so – like, maybe not on the West Coast as much, like more on the East Coast. People play with everybody. They don't care who they're playing. You'll have a team from California, and they'll have four guys from Tennessee on the team.
But you know why, though, right? Well, Jacob, that's
right? Yep, exactly. Absolutely.
The game has changed. The game has changed.
It absolutely has. Completely.
There was an idea that was floated around back when AFFL had first started, and I don't know how serious it ever was, or maybe this was just a talking point from people, right? People were like, we need to start putting tournaments together where you can only take, you know, like the best of the best, right? You do a regional tournament, you take two teams from Cali, you take, you know, one team from the whatevers, and then Florida, since you have a bigger demographic of players, y'all get five or six teams entered in. And the only people that can play with those teams, you either have to be a part of that state or you have to be a state that touches. And it's as simple as that.
Gauntlet division, yes.
Yeah, but so it was like Gauntlet, but we weren't playing Gauntlet because quiet as kept, unless you got Mark on your team or unless you got Pablo or Velt on your team, you're not winning Gauntlet. If they show up, you don't have a rusher that can stop all three of them.
Right.
Right? And so I agree with you to that point, other than the fact that the game has changed completely now, right? It doesn't matter. Hell, I've been flown out to go play for teams in different states, right? Like, I'm no better than them.
To me, it's not such a bad thing. But I think the more, like, take USA Flag's schedule, right? It's not so much more of a, we need to hit certain states to hit certain hubs. It's more of a, this is a destination spot.
Yep.
This is a, you know, look at Vegas twice. San Diego, we're going to. We're in Florida every year. Mm-hmm. You look at Boston, Denver, all these different spots. They're all big spots for you to go play for a little while and then go do something. You know, I get your point, JJ, where you're there and then you go, you're there to play football. Some of these guys, it's the same thing. Some of them, they're there for the party.
Football is secondary.
Right. It's, you know, they'll play, they might play a couple snaps. They're usually the ones who call them forfeit on Sunday.
I'm telling you, the last tournament, I know that this is a USA thing, but they did the Weekend Warrior stuff out here, and there was a team that came out. Boy, I don't think that they showed up for pool play at all. They showed up at playoffs and was like, boy, we was in Scottsdale last night, drunk as hell. And I was like, I know why y'all came out here, bro. You don't got to explain it to me.
Right.
I know. Right, yeah. I get it. You know what I mean? Yep. So it's so tough nowadays with the way that and I agree with you, Jacob. I don't think it's a bad thing because at the end of the day, it's all about the community, right? Regardless of who plays with who, no matter if somebody's paying for them to play, like, it's still flag football at the end of the day. And if you got love for the game, you got love for the game. And you know what? Kudos to you if you good enough and somebody finds your services good enough that they want to pay you for it. Because quiet as cat, bro, if I could, don't tell my employer, but if I could quit my damn job and they was like, hey, bro, we finna pay you to play flag football. Boy, what? Man, bro, it wouldn't even be a question. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like, it's all love at the end of the day for everybody. And the only thing that, like, I wish was more, like, normalized is that at every single one of these tournaments, we had a different set of teams. Like, I love when I see, like, oh, damn, who we play today? Oh, I ain't never heard of them. And then you come find out and you're like, bro, where the hell are these dudes from New Mexico coming from? And how are they balling right now? Right? Like, we got some dudes that play down in Lake Havasu in Arizona. I would never consider them to be, like, pro-level good. But every now and then, they got this 6'4" white dude who will come out and jump out the gym on you. And it's like, hey, we calling, hey, come on, dog. We going to Texas. You rolling with us. You know what I mean? So I wish
they
something like that.
Those white dude, I don't know what team they were. It was like some young cats, like looked like they were just out of high school or something like that. They were playing like rec or something. They played against Barbecue Chicken's team, but they were balling like one hand, head topping. Like,
oh, you know, I remember, buddy. Yes, that was funny.
What team was that?
I cannot remember what the team name was. They didn't do well.
Yeah, no.
They didn't make it far, but they were funny. That was funny.
I've played against the YTGs, the BTBs, the Freaks, and everybody in between. Not once have I ever been more disrespected. We were at Worlds the last time I went. This was probably like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. We were playing fours. They had four dudes that were all like 6'4", all athletic as hell, clearly played ball at some point in time in their life. They had this white dude that had the flow in his hair. He mossed three of our dudes one hand. That I'm like, bro, where are you at? Like, why are you out here with us? He said, dog, I'm a. He looked, bro. I kid you not. He looked at me and he was like, bro, I play backup quarterback in the XFL. I was like, what the fuck am I doing then?
Right.
Like, bro, he not even throwing the ball. He let somebody else do it. He out there dogging us at receiver, and I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah, I think I know.
But
who,
I ain't seen him since.
I'm pretty sure I know who it is. I think he plays. He's a Texas guy. I know who you're talking about.
Just bro, like 6'4", athletic as hell. Mm. We thought that we was going, bro. These dudes play tackle. They don't know nothing about us. Shit.
What he's doing? He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. No. Did he up?
Yeah, I had a question. When are we gonna do like a? I'm pretty sure I seen like maybe a year ago, 2 years ago. That was a tournament you guys did in Mexico or something like that.
They offered one. They couldn't get the teams to sign up.
They couldn't get their own teams to sign up.
No, they couldn't get it. No, nobody wanted. It was offered. I mean, it was offered to everybody. It was open invite. We had a few teams from Mexico sign up, but you know, the expectation was the majority of teams from the States wanted to go. Everybody was hyped up talking about let's go here. And then all of a sudden you realize your teammates spent the $20 they were supposed to save up for their passport on what?
Come on, bro. Like a Mexico tournament that was like more closer to the border. That way, like, they don't have a passport. They can just like kind of.
Yeah, we're doing one this week. I mean, that's what San Diego is going to be. It's in Chula Vista. It's right there at the border.
Yeah, but like not there's some Mexico teams that pull up, but like whenever we have like tournaments out in Mexico, like when they host them, I feel like it's a different like I kind of want the U.S. to like see the vibe that Mexico has, like their tournaments, everybody, like there's a crowd of people that actually watch the tournaments, like they actually like people who don't play flag, they actually, the stands are full of people like actually spectating the sport. And I feel like U.S. like we need some of that. You know what I mean?
Well, think about it. Think about it this way. This is the way I've looked at it. Mexico, and my aunt can attest to this. Say I'm wrong, whatever. Kind of a Mexican heritage, family and like friends and family is a lot tighter than it is in the United States. So if Aunt could have, if, you know, let's just say we all live in Mexico, right? Aunt could have like 10 to 12 people from his family go out there with him for the weekend because Aunt's going to play. JJ could have 6 or 7. D-Hop, you could have like, another 8 to 10. Here in the States, so a lot of these dudes are lucky if their side chicks want to go out there and watch them play. And then it's the side chicks and it's us who are interested in flag as it is. But if you're not interested, you're not going out there to watch that. You'd rather go watch paint dry on the wall. So
yeah, I'm not lying, bro. Like this, the community is, and I think D-Hop, me and you talked about that when we were in Vegas just recently. Like the vibe is so unmatched, but again, it's that community feeling that they carry, with themselves.
Completely. That's just culturally, absolutely, completely.
It just don't feel the same. Now, I heard back in the day, again, this is way before my time, but my OG Sergio, he be telling me about it all the time because he played it in a lot. He'll be like, man, Roswell was that way. Like, you used to pull up to Roswell, and they used to shut the city down because it's already not very big as it is. But people pull up because they know that that tournament's going on. It was an entire event. When it was all done, you go do whatever you do after.
Roswell was different. Yeah, Roswell was different for sure. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Tampa has exceeded what Roswell ever was, and I mean, I do feel like if there's one tournament that people are going to go to and there's going to be a big crowd and all that stuff, it is Tampa. I mean, it's 1,300 teams, so there's bound to be a crowd at all the big games. I mean, not even just the CBS games, like JJ, that New Dynasty and YTG game in the semis, like that, those sidelines were packed. Like,
But to Jacob's point, though, right, like not to disagree with you, because I do agree with you, like it was lit. But all of the people that are there have some sort of interest in flag already. They just not there simply to be a spectator. Right.
That's
And I think that can be like, well, that's the biggest difference.
Yeah, and there's tournaments in Mexico, though, that are celebrating like 50 years of running the tournament. Like, it's also been around and established. I mean, they have women's flag football at every college. They have, they have the clubs are, it's like soccer. It's the same way as international soccer. You can start playing flag football and going to school at an academy in Mexico. And so it's very, all of that stuff's going on as well.
Like, one thing, like, you can quote me on this. If we, like, collabed with, like, Tochella. Like, Tochella is during, like, 4th of July weekend. And we, like, collabed the USA Flag Tournament with them or something like that. They love seeing us out there. Like, the athleticism of us and everything, like, they love seeing us out there. I'm pretty sure, like, the way their field is set up, they have, like, a stadium on the main field. And then it's, like, four fields on that stadium field. And then all the other fields are kind of like back behind the stadium and stuff like that. But like literally the entire, I think both sides of the stadium be filled up. Like if USA teams were out there and we actually like competed with them, they like love it.
I think you'd see. See, I feel like it would be. Like, I almost wonder if
Coachella's right on the border, right?
Yeah. It's in, like, just past TJ, like, in Ensenada. So, like, maybe, like, a hour drive, 30-minute drive, like, from the border.
But to that point, I mean, we have something similar to that, right? Like Ant was talking about, even in Tampa, because I think where it's a struggle for us to throw everything together, and please correct me if you feel I'm wrong, we have so many teams going to an event that 1,300 people might turn in at 3,000 people, 4,000 people at the venue, but 4,000 people getting split amongst 1,300 teams, it's just going to look like less by virtue because we're all going to see and do something else, right? Those teams, like from what I've seen, at least in Mexico, is that, bro, you come out here and I came specifically to spectate flag football, and it does not necessarily matter who it is that I'm coming to watch sometimes. Like, oh, my nephew was playing over there, but something else going on. Instead of just chilling with my nephew and talking to him about the game, hey, they got another game over here at the stadium, bro. Come on, all of us, let's go. You know what I mean? And so I feel like we get that crowd the later in the tournament that we go, obviously, because there's less games being played. Tampa World Championships for fives, fours, contact. You can't, bro, the refs don't even got nowhere to run. The refs be on the damn field with y'all. You know what I mean? Like, you can't even move. So, like, the community is there. It's just we're so widespread sometimes because of how many people show up to these events that it's a little bit different. You know what I mean?
I think the biggest thing with that is you look at the formats that are different, the times that are different, the size of the park that's different. You know, sounds like some of these other places are a little bit smaller, a little more condensed, which is good. You know, like the big championship feels in the stadium. You want, you know, people to be watching that. It's also, you know, they don't play 12 formats over there. They play men's, women's, and sometimes co-ed. You know, so I think you factor some of that in, you get a different environment. But I'm, you know, it's like that in Europe too, apparently. So like there's a lot of folks who show up for, you know, that aren't playing in Europe. So maybe I don't know. There's ways to get people there.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I think if cool. Well, it's gonna be Chuck and Travis. So, sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. D-Hop, JJ, we appreciate y'all jumping on. I know it was last minute. Recapping Vegas with us and talking all kinds of other stuff about flag football. So thank y'all both for coming on. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all, man. Keep doing what y'all doing. We love y'all. We respect y'all. Without y'all, we wouldn't have it, man. So we appreciate it.
Absolutely. See y'all in a couple weeks, fellas.
All right, see you in a couple weeks.
Cool, man. I pulled a couple rabbits out of my hat.
You were flopping a shoe.
My slippers.
Golly, you have old man slippers.
Oh man, come on. I'm 40 years cool. old. This is cool. Perfect. It's insulated.
It's Tempur-Pedic, isn't it?
Yeah, I bet it is. Oh, man. All right. Well, Hey, that was cool. That was a good way to recap Vegas. Two different perspectives. I do think that Ronan figured out the formula. In the past, they had kind of their core group, and they would roll to the tournaments, and they just couldn't find success. They built like an all-star Southern California all-star team, and that's why they won aired out this past year. So, I'm interested to see. I'm telling you, like I said, Jacob, write it down. Put the date. Optimum Nutrition. Sixers contact. I'm good. If the roster that was in Vegas this past weekend, if they travel, they are going to make some noise in Sixers contact.
Okay, they're gonna make some noise.
In the back, of the, I just was looking at your face the entire time when he said it takes less skill to play fives contact than sixes.
Come on. It hurt, but I'm polite.
Yeah, there you go. Well, cool, man. We run a little later than normal. I know everyone's probably tuning into the Eagles Cowboys now and looking for Micah Parsons. Hey, man, we put in our merch order for September. That's not the end all be all. We order once a month. So,
good stuff. Yep. You know. Come see us.
Yeah. You got some shorts for yourself, right?
I have shorts on. Yes, I do. Oh, yeah. I ordered a pair of shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say,
yeah, we got shorts.
Or aren't.
Yeah. And they got zippers.
Ooh, so you can play in them.
Exactly. Awesome. Do you think a clocks running team could ever be formed?
No.
Okay, fair all. Enough.
Unless Lance is going to play quarterback, I'm out.
No, that would be cool. It'd have to be like a 45 plus, right?
Well, then I've got another 12 years to wait, so I'm out.
No.
By the time I get to 45, you're going to be 80.
Cool, man. That being said, tell everybody where we're at. Where can they find this stuff?
Everywhere. We're on MySpace. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on Snapchat. We're on Tinder. We're not on Tinder. Just kidding. We're on TikTok. We're on but if you do listen to podcasts, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora. Those are the three great ones to check us out on. And if you do want to see our ugly mugs, you can check us out right here on YouTube. We're here every week.
There we go. Yeah. Jacob, I appreciate you. I know you've been busy. And you got a new dog, right? What's the dog's name?
Oh, Blue, man. Oh, boy, Blue.
You're my boy, Blue. Nice.
Yeah, man. So
there we go. Cool, man. We're excited. That's exciting stuff. I miss having a dog. It's been a few years since I've had a pet. So
yeah.
That's good stuff, man.
Right.
Well, on to San Diego, right? In a couple weeks?
Yes, sir. Next week, San Diego. We're rocking and rolling. That's four tournaments in 6 weeks.
Busy, busy. All right, man. Well, we'll see you next week.
All right. Be good. See you.
All right.